Evening.
Evening.
These thoughts have been on my mind for quite some time. It's been several years ago. No, actually probably 12 or 13. I read an article and it kind of made an impression on me. I was reading about the training of Navy SEALs. All the training they put them through, all the tough physical exercise and discipline. One of the things that really stood out to me was they would take them, they handcuff their hands behind their back, and then they jump into a pool that's over their head. You sink to the bottom, and you jump. It's not far over your head. You come up and you take a breath, and you go down again. Jump again. What would you do that for? What are they trying to teach them? I mean, I read the other things they put them through, and it's like, yeah, that's tough, but I could do it. I was probably 13 or 14, anyway. But that one, it's like, well, I don't know. That's pretty tough. What they were trying to teach them was not to panic. That's something we need to keep in mind, too.
Amen.
Dictionary definition of panic: a sudden overwhelming fear, with or without cause, that produces hysterical or irrational behavior, and that often spreads quickly through a group of persons or animals. And to affect with panic is to terrify and cause to flee or lose self-control. So let's look at some examples from the Bible. There will be numerous, but let's start in 1 Samuel 18. Then it came to pass, this is in verse 6 of chapter 18, it came to pass that they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul, with tambourines and with joy and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s. Remember that, that's important. And to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with him, and he was departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from him, and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. Okay, so Saul has become David's enemy. Saul is afraid that David's going to take the kingdom. Let's go over to chapter 20. Start in verse 25. And the king sat upon his seat, as at other times, even upon a seat by the wall. And Jonathan arose, and Abner sat by Saul's side, and David's place was empty. Nevertheless, Saul spake not anything that day, for he thought something had befallen him. He is not clean. Surely he is not clean. And it came to pass on the morrow, which was the second day of the month, that David's place was empty. And Saul said unto Jonathan his son, Wherefore cometh not the son of Jesse to meat, neither yesterday nor today? And Jonathan answered Saul, David earnestly asked leave of me to go to Bethlehem. And he said, Let me go, I pray thee, for our family hath a sacrifice in the city, and my brother hath commanded me to be there. And now if I have found favor in thine eye, let me get away, I pray thee, and see my brethren. Therefore he cometh not unto the king's table. Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, and he said unto him, Thou son of the perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion, and unto the confusion of thy mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom. Okay, what's he concerned about? He's concerned about the kingdom, and Jonathan's kingdom. Wherefore now send and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die. And Jonathan answered Saul his father and said unto him, Wherefore shall he be slain? What hath he done? And Saul cast the javelin at him to smite him, whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to slay David. What did Saul do? Here he's concerned about the kingdom, concerned about passing it on to Jonathan. And the next thing, two verses down, he's trying to kill Jonathan. Panic. Just lost it. Lost reason. Acting irrationally. Let's go to Mark chapter 14. Read this account and then we'll make some observations on it. Starting in verse 66, this is at the trial of Christ. Christ had been arrested, taken into the high priest's palace. Peter was there. He followed. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, Thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crowed. And the maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, This is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. What's he going to do now? He's cornered. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. He panicked.
Yeah.
And the second time the cock crowed, Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. When he thought thereon, he wept. He panicked. Lost his self-control. Acted irrationally. Panic is based on self-preservation.
That's right.
Panic comes when it looks like you're going to lose something that you hold dear to yourself.
Yeah.
And it nearly always costs the thing that you're holding on to.
That's right.
Think about it. If you're driving on slick roads and you start to slide, and you panic, but you're almost sure to wreck then.
That's right.
It just speeds up the process.
Mm.
So when you feel like you're in over your head, things are out of your control, what do? You panic? What happens if you feel like you don't meet up to the church's expectations? So you panic. Well, you're probably going to do one of two things. You're going to either try and tear the church down or try and run away from it. It's for sure you won't meet up to expectations then.
Mm.
What about the fear of God? You fear God,
yes,
and you feel like you can't meet up to His expectations. So you panic. You try and run away from God. But then what? Then you're for sure not going to meet His expectations. What about fear of deception? You know, some people get so afraid of being deceived that they panic and they only listen to one argument. Only hear one side of the story. You know, if you've got a rational mind and you listen to two sides of the story, you've got a pretty good chance of understanding it.
Right.
If you only listen to one side, there's at least a 50-50 chance of being wrong. So let's look at the other side. Let's look at some examples of not panicking. Daniel chapter 3. Look at some examples and see why they didn't panic. Starting in verse 1. And Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, whose height was 80 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. And he set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriff, and all the rulers of the provinces, to come and to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Then the princes, the governors and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then Herod cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore at that time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people of the nations and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not the gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, okay, now who wants to stand before that? Commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, and psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. They're not afraid. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They're in over their heads. There's nothing they can do. But they understand what's important. They're not panicking.
That's good.
Go to Acts chapter 4. Mm-hmm. starting in verse 5, some of the disciples had been arrested for teaching in the name of Christ. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. When they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have ye done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, now remember, Peter was the one who denied Christ, but he's changed now, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Peter's not panicking this time.
Right, amen.
With boldness. You know how much courage I would take to stand up to these people and say, "Who is rejected of you builders?" That took a lot of guts.
Yes.
Took a lot of courage. Now this last passage we'll see a little bit of the answer. Over in Acts chapter 20. The Apostle Paul is on his way to Jerusalem. And he's visiting with the elders from Ephesus. In verse 22. "And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and affliction abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself,
Amen.
That I might finish my course with joy, and in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God." To understand what really matters. What's important. "None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego understood that. Peter and John understood that. And to understand that we never were in control of our circumstances. God was, and He still is. God could still deliver them out of the fiery furnace. He can still deliver us. But if He doesn't, what difference does it make?
Amen.
You still
Amen.
Serve Him.
Amen.
So you try and maintain a straight course and leave the rest up to God.
So, yep. Good.
So what if Saul hadn't panicked? Remember, Saul was slain by the Philistines. Remember, these women are saying that David slays 10 times as many Philistines as Saul does. The kingdom probably would have passed to David instead of Jonathan, but Saul would have probably got to live the rest of his life.
Yeah.
To affect with panic is to terrify and cause to flee or lose self-control. Last men's meeting. We watched some videos. Under safety. Survival. Something that stuck with me. Talking about surviving. The man that got lost in the woods. Of all the things he could have done, he did the worst. He panicked.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even running away from the sound of a snowmobile.
Oh.
That would have got you found pretty quick if you'd have went the right direction. But I was thinking about this on my way home from men's meeting. Knowing that we're soon on the way down to the clinic for the baby to be born. Now when a baby's born, it's an exciting time. There's also stress. Financial stress. There's a delivery bill to pay. This baby's going to have to eat. Lack of sleep. Everybody who's had children knows that. Due to concern for that the child doesn't get sick and the sickness going around the church, we weren't at church for a while. That in itself is discouraging. Things are just out of control. What are you going to do? Panic? What's that going to help? Maintain a straight course and leave the rest up to God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Philip.